This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It is Tuesday and we are live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. You are listening to The Pulse, 107.7, and you can also stream us live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com, and it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call, 866-823-1077, if you'd like to chat with us. We'd always love to hear of a new place maybe that you went out to dinner or new recipe you wanted to try or you had a question. So again, 866-823-1077. So Mike, you were away for 2 days. How was your how was your 2 days?
Before I get to that, I just want to say when you do call in, make sure you tell Andrew, our producer, what the topic is you want to talk about, and if bacon is the subject, he'll put you to the top of the list. Anyway, thank you, Carol. Nice to be back. It was 4 days of partly being at sea and partly not, because our able captain had a little spill in the cabin of the boat. I mean, he's fine, but he injured himself enough that it would not be wise to be sailing, because sailing is very physical. Very physical with hoisting mainsails and a bunch of other stuff, pulling winches. The list goes on. But anyway, he's fine. But it was not probably the wisest thing to go out. So we spent more time at the dock at Constitution Wharf in Boston. And I can talk about this because I'm pretty sure that nobody, the people that are involved here are out of listening range.
Oh boy, what did you do?
Well, the one little trip that we did take was to a place in Boston Harbor called Spectacle Island. Now, if you've never sailed or boated in Boston Harbor, you don't realize that it is filled with islands. I mean, tons of them. A number of which are recreational areas that have like concession stands and beaches for swimming and hiking trails. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I did either. I've lived here 30 years, but I didn't grow up here. But it's been a real education of getting to all these different islands. So you can't always tie up to a dock there. So you have to go. It's on what's called a mooring, which is a big floating ball that's got a hook on it, and you attach yourself, and you just basically free float out there. And a lot of sailing people prefer that way. Now, I like docking because that means I can get off the boat without a dinghy and go use the restroom if I need to, or what, even though there is facilities called the head on board. So what you have to do, if you're on a mooring, you have to basically get in what's called a tender or a dinghy, which in this particular case is a small inflatable boat with a small motor on the back, and it holds four people snugly. That's not my favorite way to travel. Only because I'm deathly afraid of deep water. I can swim, but probably for about 3 minutes. So we wore our life vests, but if there's any kind of wave action, you pretty much get soaked. And there was on this particular day.
Uh-oh.
So that's okay. I mean, that's part of the experience. I'm okay with that. But the thing is, with salt water, it's like I had like 3 inches of salt on my glasses when we got to shore at Spectacle Island. But that's all part of the adventure, and that's why sailors say it's more about the travel versus the destination.
Right.
Powerboat people say it's more about getting there. And the hell with being on the water. So I accept that and enjoy it, but I am glad to be back home and thankful to our hosts that graciously take us out on this beautiful sailboat,
nice.
Exposing me to an aspect of life that I'd never really been a part of. And I don't know. I think your dad had a powerboat for a bunch of years, right? So.
Oh, I grew up on a powerboat. He had
right.
One of them was a big one.
So you've been on the water.
Grew up on the water
a lot
since I was little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So not me, and I'm enjoying it, but not all of it. Now here's a funny thing: when we went for 10 days, remember a couple of weeks ago, I was away for almost 2 weeks. You know, there's a fair amount of adult beverage consumption. Let's put it that way.
But you were anchored.
Not while you're sailing.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. The captain never has anything until we're there for the night.
Right.
Nothing the next morning. No Bloody Marys. Nothing. So because there was perhaps a little more consumption the last time than I would have liked, I seriously did not have, for 2 weeks, did not have a sip of any kind of alcohol, except for one night there was a small gathering, and that was it. So it, you know, I basically went on a 2-week alcohol detox.
After your 10 days at sea.
I know.
You know, sometimes you have to do that when you go away.
Yes.
You know,
you
when
do.
I go away with the girls, and it's usually only for 2 or 3 nights.
Yeah.
I got to take a break.
You got to,
yes,
right.
Because that's all we do. And usually when we go, we're at a destination, we're not driving, we're there. You know, especially when we go to my brother's place up in Jonesport, Maine. It's 5 hours away, so we're just there, and there's nothing in Jonesport. So we stop at the grocery store, and we are there.
Yeah.
So we drink from morning till night.
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
Yeah, and if you're safe, and, you know, it's not the rest of your life. But yeah, you just feel like, oh, my God, I do not want to see another bottle of Patron tequila as much,
exactly.
As, much
like,
as I love it. No, I'm all set. So last night we went out and had Mexican and had margaritas. So
there you go.
So I guess
where'd you go?
Went to La Carreta, you know, in Derry, which is close to where I live.
You've got to try Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah, I will. It's, you know, it's not as convenient, but yeah. I certainly will one of these days, because I could tell they're the real deal when they came and visited one day. So
definitely.
That was.
I mean, La Carreta is good too. You know, and they're mm-hmm. they're the real deal.
They are.
And I do. I like both of them, but I prefer Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, that's why the competition is healthy out there. It used to not be for Mexican cuisine.
True. Now they're all over the place.
Yeah.
They're really, literally, like, all over the place.
And not all of it's the real deal, but a lot of it is. When I moved here 30 years ago, it was not. It was places like Chi-Chi's and El Torito, and it was like,
Bell.
I need a quick fix, so I'll go there. But please, would some people that have a little Latin heritage or Mexican heritage, please move here and open some restaurants?
I think the first one really was like La Carreta, right? I mean, it kind of...
Well, in this area,
the first good one.
Probably were other ones that we're not aware of, but I agree with you. I was finally somewhat satisfied.
Yes.
Finally dining.
I think we all kind of were when La Carreta came
And my out. Marker is that I was married to a Mexican-American woman for a lot of years, and when I first met her, there was a lot of family activities, first generation up from Houston, Texas, and so they got it.
They know their
And then I go other places, and I go, the salsa stinks. Come on, make me some real salsa. So I guess maybe that was my early days of being a food snob to some degree. It was Mexican, and I moved up here in New England, and it was like, this is not good.
Yeah.
I have to go back to Ohio where there's migrant fields and lots of good Mexican food.
And I can eat Mexican 7 days a week. I love it. Love it, love it.
I think I could too.
Mm.
I think, but then
Daryl and I both, we like it hot and we like Mexican.
But then again, you'd have to detox after about a week's worth. And move on to something a little more bland.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't...
It's like
every
drinking
time I
too
go,
much of a good thing is...
Every time I go, it's not necessarily hot all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll go to Puerto Vallarta a good two times a week at
really?
Least.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Daryl loves the carnitas.
Carnitas.
I like the carnitas in the chile verde.
Yep.
Comes out in the boiling malachite. The bowl.
That's a mineral, I think, right? They make bowls out of that?
Yeah, it's like volcano
it's a stone.
Or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Very
and it
cool.
comes out bubbling.
Yeah.
Oh, is it good?
What do we have for food holiday before we move on to some healthy food discussion, which we're in serious need of based on this last 10 minutes?
We're not going to do that with the national holiday today
because
it's National Junk Food Day.
Well, when Una Williams, when we put her mic on, we'll have to ask her if there's any gluten-free
food
that could be considered junk food that
we'd
at least feel somewhat satisfied there.
There you go.
That might be an oxymoron. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll see. And it's also National Creme Brulee Day.
Oh, fun.
Do you like creme brulee?
I do.
Yeah,
I do. I need
I
to
do
get
too.
A little blowtorch, though, for the kitchen because
I'm
kind of
snobby
don't make
with
it.
My.
Are you? Well, you're allowed to be.
I am.
When you get to this point in life, you've had good food and you've had bad food, so you just start eliminating the stuff that was not very good.
The best stuff I had was actually the first time I had it,
mm-hmm.
and it was at we were on South Beach, Miami, and it was a restaurant there, and I had never had it before, and I was like, why haven't I ever had this before? Oh my goodness, it was
really?
So good, and I think it was a caramel one. It had caramel on the mm-hmm. top, drizzled and. And then every time I try it, and Daryl likes it too. I mean, I'm not a huge dessert person, you know, once in a while, but, you know, over the years I try some from time to time, but, that was my favorite one. That was a few years ago.
It's like a first love, you know, you just remember that one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I do. And I remember where I was sitting. I don't remember the name of the restaurant, but I remember, I can picture it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But anyway.
What was in your alcoholic beverage cup that night?
Don't remember.
Okay.
You know, I'm not one that just drinks margaritas. Or mm-hmm. I kind of
mix
can,
it up, huh?
I can't. I mean, not like throughout the night mix it up.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm generally a wine drinker. I like red wine. So,
All right, it's break time.
I think it's break time. Mm-hmm. All right, you're listening to Food for Thought, and it is Tuesday, and up next is Una Williams, the gluten-free expert. We're going to find out if there's some gluten-free junk food that we can eat that like Mike says, we're going to get satisfied with. So stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, listening to The Pulse. And, you know, I was just, before I was going to throw away my daily food quote paper from Food Reference, today in food history in 1873, it rained ants in Nancy, France. That's what it says.
Sounds like beginning of a limerick or something.
Yes, no, but they probably candied them and ate them afterwards.
That's those wacky French.
It rained ants in Nancy, France.
That can happen.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's rained frogs. It's rained other things, especially if you've got a tornado or a water spout.
Yeah.
It sucks. It literally sucks what's on the ground up
and
spits it out. Oh, yeah. So that's, I believe that. But it's just funny. In Nancy, France, ants in Nancy, France.
Yeah, you do wonder where that came from.
Yeah, seriously. It just sounds like a sick attempt at a limerick by some drunken Frenchman. But what do I know?
But, you know, they eat snails and frogs, and I've eaten both and enjoyed them, so who knows?
But not puppy dog's tails, right?
No.
Well, and that voice you are listening to is Una Williams. Let's welcome her to Food for Thought, the queen of gluten-free.
Thank you.
So in answer to our question about junk food day, is there such a thing in the gluten-free world?
Well, I hate saying it, and I sound so snobby saying it, but basically virtually any gluten-free good that's baked that you buy is junk food. Because wheat and gluten-free flour is so tasteless compared to wheat that they have to add more salt and fat and sugar to give it any flavor
at all. So it's really bad for you.
So, you know, when you get the media hype saying, oh, go gluten-free, it's healthier. No, it's not. You'll lose weight. No, not necessarily.
Depending on
everything. I mean, I was one of those with celiac disease. I put on weight. You know, it can go either way. You put on weight or you lose it. I mean, at this weekend, we were talking about being at the beach. Cape Cod do some wonder. I saw your thing on Facebook saying eating those chips.
Cape Cod chips, yeah.
The salt and vinegar is the ones we buy because that's an English flavor.
I had
salt
more people vinegar. Comment they want the salt and vinegar.
Oh, it's an English one, very definitely.
Yes.
And it really is puckering the vinegar.
It is.
It's clearly labeled gluten-free, which is great, you know. Mainly because it's not contaminated with other oils and other junk. So it's just pure potato, pure oil. There's no messing around with it. But I bought their popcorn this weekend that was meant to be a sweet, salty one. I thought, we're at the beach. We can be bad. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty boring, even though it was labeled gluten-free. And what got me on the back, and you mightn't be aware of this, it was saying, oh, popcorn, it's not genetically engineered. Well, corn is something like over 90% GMO. How have they got that little 10% that's not GMO for their popcorn?
Yeah.
Am I being cynical or what? And I mean,
I
Cape Cod is a good brand. We know it's a good brand. It's what I think of as being local. So you trust it a bit more? Yeah, I don't think so. You know, so yes, gluten-free, too much of it is utter junk. It really
is. And then when
is.
You get a bottle of Coke and it says gluten-free, yeah, no kidding, Sherlock.
Oh, no, have you seen the raw carrots labeled gluten-free?
Do they say
that's
that?
The best one.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, raw carrots labeled gluten-free.
Gluten-free.
That is funny.
Yeah.
But people don't know. I mean, we, the three of us, know our food. We enjoy real food. But so many people out there don't know real food. That is the whole problem.
It's true.
And you're kind saying I'm the queen of gluten-free, but it comes down to it's real food. People say, they've heard me say so often, real food is naturally gluten-free. It's only the baking you change. So when they get the diagnosis, not for just gluten-free, but any food allergy or anything like that, they remember, Una said it's naturally gluten-free or naturally free of this. And that makes a world of difference. You know yourself in the restaurant. You get real food in, it's real food that goes out. Yeah. And that makes the world of difference.
Well, before we get in too deeply, how was Africa?
Oh, Africa was
two-week
phenomenal.
Trip, right?
I had 2 weeks in South Africa. I've got an article to write on it for New England Celiac Organizations magazine.
Oh.
One of the problems with Africa is they don't really understand gluten-free. So we went through saying gluten-free. Oh. No, they didn't know what we meant. Then someone said, say wheat-free. So then I was offered rye. Then you say allergic to wheat. Well, can you eat rice? Well, where is rice in terms of wheat? You know, it drives you
so
nuts.
So how did you handle that? I mean, how did that all work out? What happened?
Well, I was very lucky. I went on the trip through Milford High School. You don't have to be a member of the school, the town, or anything. And the principal that arranges them, his daughter has celiac disease. So he actually gave me the printout of my airline ticket showing he'd ordered gluten-free meals for me. And they came finding me, and it said gluten-free on it, and that was British Airways. Heathrow was appalling for getting gluten-free. It was ridiculous. Breakfast each day, I basically had bacon and eggs, and they were real freshly made scrambled eggs, or else an omelette and lots of fruit and fresh yogurt. And we're talking organic yogurt milk and everything like that, the good stuff.
Nice.
Lunch tended to be a salad of some sort, but you could also go into the fish places. I mean, I was having calamari like mad. Oh, died and gone to heaven with the calamari. And I was on Cook's Corner last month, I think it was, and I did what I called Cape Town salmon, which I'd had on the dock at the Cape Town Fish Market, having just got off the boat from Robins Island in the bright sunshine. I mean, heaven. Salmon with a spinach and sun-dried tomato Ooh. Sauce. And Erin Phalo was eating it like mad, you know, because it was so good and so healthy. And,
That's why you know they like it.
Yeah, and when the husband asks for it to be repeated, you know it's good, you know. But, yeah, you don't get buy gluten-free in the grocery store. You have to go to the health food stores or the pharmacies.
Or make it yourself better at, yeah,
Yeah,
right?
But it's slightly difficult when you're traveling in South Africa.
Oh, well, yeah.
Saying
well,
in South Africa. Yes, yeah,
yeah, sure.
But, yeah, I mean, I had – they're really into Greek food, so I was having Greek salads with olives and feta cheese. And, I mean, feta cheese on a turkey platter.
What?
Oh, yeah. They believe in their feta cheese. So, but my, it was interesting. My physical, when I came back, my cholesterol wasn't really worse. And I had eggs, bacon, and feta cheese every day for 2 weeks, you know, and whole milk in the coffee and yogurt and everything. And it was fine, you know. And just
That's
as
kind of interesting, right?
Yeah. And interestingly, just something for listeners. I get a degree of lactose intolerance, and it's very common with gluten-free to be lactose or dairy intolerant. And someone had suggested I tried drinking organic milk, butter, yogurt, and I didn't get round to it. South Africa, I had no choice, and I wasn't getting a reaction. So since I've come back from South Africa, I've done organic butter, organic yogurt, and organic milk. And no problems.
So are there many places to find that locally?
Well, yes. I mean, Market Basket, I do Market Basket because it's good prices, but they have two or three brands of organic milk and yogurt. So does Trader Joe's. Stonyfield is all organic. You can get, I think it's Kay's or Kate's of Maine does the organic butter
right.
and buttermilk. And the prices aren't that bad compared to if you're buying lactate milk. It's very little different.
So this is all dairy you ordinarily would not have had,
yeah.
and now you can enjoy it because
yeah.
you're not having a reaction
exactly.
to it. Do you think everybody will react
it's
as positively
it's
as
something
you?
Worth trying.
Sure.
You know, we've discussed this. Is it the fact that it's organic, which means not genetically modified,
mm-hmm.
or is it the fact that I'm going to the whole milk and it hasn't been acted on to reduce it to 2% or fat-free. But, I mean, I used to take the lactate tablets for baking with butter because I would get the cramps, and I'm not getting it. So,
wow.
again, it's this real food
wow.
thing. Real food makes a world of difference.
That's a great
to the
takeaway
body.
Today.
It
yeah.
definitely is.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe it's just because, you know, time and, you know, because remember when gluten-free first came out and all the products, they were just horrible.
It's still on.
But, well, they're not as bad as they were at the beginning,
no.
agreed. Right?
Well, there's more variety now.
There is more variety,
yeah.
but it seems like it's come a long way.
Yes.
Like, way back when it first came out, it was like, oh, I mean,
yeah.
it was horrible.
Yeah. I mean, I look at it, people say to me, in terms of either a restaurant or a bought product, how about, I said, I didn't eat there or buy that stuff in wheat flour days. Why would I in gluten-free days? And, yeah, I know big-headed. I can cook better than most of those places out there anyway, so why would I spend the money? Not saying your place. We know your place is good.
Oh, please, don't.
And the prices
amen.
Are good, you know. But, you know, it's real food, but there's still too many products that are gluten-free or allergy-free out there that are still awful. And I cannot understand why these people are making this stuff and selling it. But the other thing is people don't know how to cook.
Right.
I was in that new Wegmans, not the one in Burlington, but the one over in Springfield Mass Direction the other year. And there was a woman, mid-20s, educated, 7-year-old son just diagnosed. She wanted to buy everything already prepackaged gluten-free. Well, not only are you paying an absolute fortune for it, but it's, again, as I say, more fat, sugar,
right.
and salt than the real food. And a kid's body is going to react to that junk far more than an adult's. I mean, Saturday I'm speaking at the gluten-free and allergen-free expo in Worcester, Mass, and I'm speaking on how to cook so they will eat. But it's for everyone.
Right.
I mean, I know we've talked about your salads and that. I mean, last night I made a fresh roasted red pepper. And I mean, I roasted my own peppers. I didn't buy the jar because it tastes acidy. Roasted the red peppers into a pesto, put it on my own lettuce from the garden. I'd use my own parsley, basil, and green of green onion. And I'd roasted my own garlic. Oh, gosh, I'm such a pain, haven't I? And I'd grilled chicken on the grill, and I had that. And I'd made a cucumber tzatziki with that organic plain yogurt and some fresh honey and herbs. I mean, fabulous tasting.
Yum. Mm-hmm.
But you're not talking any bad stuff in it.
Right.
And I try and make things as easy as possible. You know, people don't know how to cook, and that's the scary thing.
You spoke at the Concord Co-op, I think,
yes,
pretty recently.
Yeah.
Is that part of what your normal speaking routine is on this level? Is showing people how to do these things without having to spend the whole day in the kitchen?
Yes. I mean, Concord Co-op and also Manchester Co-op recently, they were both on Power of Food, Best Medicine, Worst Poison, which, again, is for absolutely everyone. This thing in Worcester, yes, it's a gluten-free and allergen-free expo, so it's predominantly going to be those people there. But, again, it's real food. It's telling them how to cook real food without spending forever in the kitchen, without breaking the budget, knowing where to go, who to trust, what you can buy. I mean, on Facebook, I come home and say, I bought this today, I bought that today, you know, so people know. And they know if I say it's good, it must be good because I'm so damn picky.
we were talking just to back up about...
I thought I was damn picky. Yes,
yes,
you know that, yes.
About lactose intolerance. Barbara, my fiancée, has a daughter who recently was diagnosed as such, just based on all the symptoms.
Yes.
And so, and I also have a young nephew who's 17. When he was here, and this was quite by accident, I picked up some Cabot cheddar cheese, and it said, does not contain any form of lactate,
yes,
acid. Now, how many cheeses are out there? I mean, I was shocked, and he was... That was
in
the best
heaven,
part of his vacation, because now he can go back to Michigan, and if they can find Cabot cheese, and they probably can there. This is a new, upgrade in his lifestyle.
Well, to make him feel even happier, and I will always recommend Cabot. I look on Cabot as being,
yeah,
a neighbor, and I see them at trade,
yes,
shows, and their cheese is fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
I use their Greek yogurt and everything. But hard cheeses are actually lactose-free anyway, if they're real cheeses.
Even if it's not labeled as such.
Yes, because it's the whey that comes off when you're making the hard cheese.
Oh,
that's where the lactose
is. That's where it is?
So okay. Ricotta and cream cheese will still have the lactose.
Or Gouda
in.
Or something
but
like
any
that.
Any of those hard cheddars,
right,
the lactose is in the whey that comes off. It's not dairy-free, because dairy means,
yes,
the milk side of it, but it's definitely lactose-free.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
yeah.
People
never
don't
knew
realize
that. Did I tell
that.
You that? Oh, I thought I shared that,
yeah,
with you.
And one,
oh,
thing,
wow,
he should,
yeah,
realize that...
Well, you shared with me that particular cheese, but I,
right,
didn't realize it was all hard cheese.
Hard cheese.
Yeah.
I must have missed that.
And I'd go for the real ones.
Right,
you know, I mean,
right.
I wouldn't trust the processed ones, etc. And Cabot actually labels it lactose-free,
yes,
and they have a
they
huge
which
range
is smart
of
on their part.
Absolutely.
Because that's the only one I would buy, not,
yes,
real. I thought it was,
yeah,
a special step in their,
yeah,
production,
no,
but it's contained in the whey for the,
yeah,
most part.
Yeah.
All right, so what about, say, Swiss cheese? I don't know if that's a hard or a soft cheese.
It should be. It's hard cheese.
It's hard cheese.
Yes, it's
where
known as Emmentaler or Gruyere.
Okay.
Things like the mascarpone, the cream cheese, the,
mm-hmm,
ricotta, the cottage cheese.
How about Stilton or blue cheese? Or
those are still hard cheeses.
They are.
That they're made,
okay,
by putting, I can't even think of the word, stuff into it, like a rennet into it,
yes,
that sets the curds,
okay,
and you stir it and you scoop out the curds and put,
wow,
it into a mold. So even Brie's and Camembert's are lactate-free or lactose-free.
Is that right?
Should
Brie
be, definitely.
Too?
Yes, it should be. They're all scooped,
wow,
out and put into molds.
Because that's not hard, really.
No, but it's the concept of setting the curds,
mm-hmm,
and taking it out of the liquid and putting it into a form. If you look, they put it into a form that's,
right,
got like cheesecloth,
mm-hmm,
lining it, and they let it drain and drain and drain. And that's the only difference between ordinary cheddar and sharp cheddar. The longer you let it stand and drain, the more the liquid comes out of the cheddar, so the stronger the flavor it gets.
Yeah, and it's harder to
slice
cut smoothly.
And it crumbles.
Crumbles,
more.
Right. Okay.
And I normally say, you know, don't even think, mm-hmm, of going to light cheese, because by the time you add enough light cheese to give flavor, you might as well have used the sharp cheese in the first place. And they've,
right,
messed around more with the light cheese. I mean, do the real,
right,
stuff.
How can I look at a label and know if it's going to be lactose-free or lactate-free, if I don't know if it's a hard or a soft cheese?
You need to look for the word whey written on the back. I mean, it should say contains milk, so you'd know that obviously with cheese. But unfortunately, I think I've said in the past that the government or the FDA allows you to say it's trans fat free on a label or something, even though it has 0.5% in it.
Okay.
So the only way you know it's trans fat is if you look for the word hydrogenated on the back. Well, I only recently discovered it's exactly the same with dairy and whey.
Mm.
They can tell you it's dairy free and it can still have that 0.5%. So my son was buying stuff because it said dairy free and he wasn't looking at the back, and he's dairy intolerant and he was getting these reactions. So you need to look and see if the word whey is written on the back. I mean, obviously, you know, milk is a word, but how many people realize whey is dairy?
So if you see it on there, then it will cause you problems.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so is this kind of like the labeling aspect, kind of like decaf still has caffeine in it, up to 16%, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And this is one of the other things I talk about is the FDA nutritional labeling, because, that you know, they tell us a normal portion of soda is 8 ounces. Well, I used to say, have you ever seen an 8 ounce on sale? So some bright spark would show me the 8 ounce cans you get in conference centers. But yeah, I mean, how is 8 ounces a normal portion? You know, that they're changing the labelings because they're ridiculous. They really are. Mm. You know, they try and fool the people all the time.
We should probably take a quick break.
Yes.
Continue on. It's gluten-free cooking with Una Williams. We're blessed to have her locally, so we have access to her from time to time. And I just learned a couple new things today.
Very interesting.
You know, and I'm not a food expert, but I enjoy it enough that I think I'm fairly well informed. And so hopefully you got some stuff out. But we're not done. She's not getting out of here for another 15 minutes while we've got her here on Food for Thought. This is the Pulse 107.7 WTPL. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And we are in studio with Una Williams. I've just labeled her now. Now she's the queen. She didn't argue about it.
Well,
so.
Where's the tiara is the question.
My previous shirts were embroidered with a crown and royal temptation.
Oh, there you go.
See, I've got more rights to it than you crowd.
So it's very appropriate.
Whoa. Wow. Yeah.
The queen of gluten-free, and we're learning all kinds of stuff. Very interesting.
Market Basket, you brought them up a little bit earlier as far as finding some of the dairy products that now are organic that you can have. I understand that you're somewhat pleased that they're now having more wild-caught fish perhaps they used to.
Yeah, I was quite amazed in this last few weeks the amount of wild fish they have, because we're all scared of farmed rays now, of everything that stays in it. And yes, I will buy various fish at Costco because I do think you can trust them. And Market Basket at least says delivered daily. And their prices are better than Shaw's and Hannaford's. Why wouldn't you shop there? I mean, when you saw the scandal, for want of a better word, that went on this time last year with the takeovers in Market Basket, and I was going online saying, go for it, you know. And when they opened back up again, they were saying, yeah, we saw you supporting us on Facebook. Well, why are you paying $2 less in Market Basket for the same brand name? There's something wrong with it, and we've all got to watch our pennies. So yeah, I mean, I listed last week, as you say, on Facebook, there must have been at least half a dozen fresh fish that was wild caught, and wild caught around America as well. And that's so much better. I mean, fish is wonderful and it's so dense. I was saying I had that salmon with spinach and make it. I make tilapia tacos, you know. Yeah, I do. But we love fish. We really love fish. If you know that place in Bedford, I don't know, can I say the name? Restaurant Outback in Bedford, I'd had their, at some expo, I'd had their tuna with the peppercorn and stuffed crust. Sorry, I don't mean stuffed. I mean the stuff around it. Crust, you know. And I came back and made that myself. You know, and you get just the good fresh tuna and the black peppercorns, the black sesame seeds, the white sesame seeds, and sesame oil and smoked paprika. 45 seconds in the pan, let it go cold and slice it. Oh, it's unbelievably fabulous. And so quick and easy, and looks really fancy for an appetizer for a party. And yet from an 8-ounce, 12-ounce steak, it goes a long way when you cut it in slivers.
June did that recipe.
Did she?
Yeah. She did.
Yeah.
And she said it came out really, really good.
Yeah. You didn't do the Bloomin' Onion, I trust.
That is difficult to do.
Well, there's a certain the instrument
that they
cut
it with.
You can see they have
them
at the fairs.
Yes.
If you walk around the fair, you see these guys with these mountains of onions. That just, you know, there's something that kind of goes over it and cuts it into whatever.
But the thing I didn't like about that in wheat flour days is unless they cooked it well, it still tasted of a raw onion at the bottom. And I mean, I love onion rings, you know, especially when I can get onion rings that are gluten-free.
You can?
Yes, there's, who is it? Cafe 100 Grill in Nashua behind Exit 8. They have a really good gluten-free lunch and dinner menu.
Oh, so I've been to that restaurant.
I get their deep-fried calamari. They've now, I got the email today, they've now finally got the gluten-free posted online for both Nashua and Chelmsford. I've been in there. They're lovely people, and it's good food.
Yeah, they just opened that maybe a year ago, right?
Yes, yes. And they're looking to expand into other places in Massachusetts as well. Mm-hmm. I like Legal Seafoods. Now everything deep-fried is gluten-free. Because they've made it all gluten-free.
And why not? If
you know,
you've got the recipe.
It's easy enough, you know, because most places don't have the space for a second fryer later to deep fry. And that's one thing I miss, the deep fried fish. And I'm not going to bother to do it at home. And you're too tempted if you do it at home. And the frying, let alone the calories, it still makes you a bit funny with all the extra oil. But the taste of a really fabulous fish and chips. I mean, we were at the coast at the weekend. My husband had the fish and chips that was wonderful at Ray's. I had the scallops and shrimp and lobster and haddock just baked with olive oil and butter. You know, they could have done with some wine and some garlic, but it was still good.
You didn't have any in your purse?
I've been at the beach all day. Remember, no alcohol allowed on the beaches.
Right. Hey, talk to me a little bit about hydroponic vegetable gardening, because I see that on your Facebook page.
And I
think that's pretty an interesting concept.
What I love is I did this. I've had
explain what it is, first of all.
Well, it's growing.
I don't know what it is.
Well, it's meant to be growing basically in like aquaponics in water type idea. This is I bought we'll call it a kit from Sticks and Stones Farm up past Concord. They're a complete CSA community supported agriculture, and they grow all their vegetables by this U-Grow system. Which you set it up. Mine at home is a small one because there's only two of us, so it would do for you and you. I'm pointing to both of them, people. It's three troughs about 18 inches long, and I have my fresh lettuce in it and my fresh parsley, and it's in a big 5-gallon tank that waters and feeds it daily, so you can go away on your vacation and you're not killing the stuff off, except in this 93-degree heat. It needs a bit more water. I also have put extra cables onto the tank, so my tomatoes are fed as well, my eggplants are fed, and you just put them in a good pot. In the actual U-Grow, it's coconut fiber it's in, so it's far healthier than
the soil. So it's not traditional soils, correct?
No, theirs is coconut fiber.
That's one of the big distinctions.
Yes, but I must admit, my tomatoes, I've got them in ordinary, decent potting compost because it just gets too expensive and too difficult and fuss. And then it is organic nutrients that you feed it with. I then do my own herbs as well and feed it the same way. I put my own seeds of lettuce in. Once my beginning set lettuce that you've bought has been used up, I put the seeds in so that I can keep it going during the winter. And they have it going up to feeding a family five for the whole summer.
You're able to grow this indoors? Do you have a greenhouse?
No, you can just, my small one, I can keep on the kitchen table. And I just put a towel under it for any drips.
Really?
And I can just keep my lettuce
going
that
way. Gets enough natural sunlight?
You can still get hanging lights to give it better light.
Oh, okay.
And depending where the houses are, some houses have fabulous lights, some don't. But it's a great way of getting kids to eat. I mean, I will harvest my lettuce outside through till October.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
That is really
and
cool.
And fabulous tasting. And you can do your spinach the same way. I did beets the previous year in it.
I love
my
beets.
Green onions going crazy, radishes.
Do you need much space for what you're discussing? You said three troughs?
The one I'm doing, it's stepped like a table. So it's three troughs, about 18 inches long, two either side and one that's higher. The one that's a family of five is, I think, 60 holes, and it's smaller than the size of an ordinary picnic table bench. And you can put it anywhere you like.
What would be the cost of one of these kits?
My small one was about $250. I think the other ones are like the $500-$600 touch. But when you think you're going to encourage kids to eat by going out and harvesting themselves, you can get the starts in the grocery store or Walmart or your own seeds. And a lot of them are now doing organic seeds and starts out there as well. I'm not so crazy paranoid about buying organic starts, because I think if it's a good growing medium and if the feeding is organic and I'm not using pesticides, you're way ahead of the curve to start with, you know. And hey,
makes sense.
We're healthy, you know. But yeah, and kids, you let them go out and pick their own lettuce, they're going to eat it. And you know yourselves, you pick those tiny silver spoon tomatoes, they're like candy.
they really
that's
are.
How kids will eat them.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw your thing about how many colors of tomatoes there are, you know, but the silver spoon tomatoes are the tiny one. Mine must be 4 and 5 foot high. And it's wonderful. And Sticks and Stones have it. It's, as I say, they do CSA as well. So they deliver the CSA.
What kind of lettuce are you using for this?
Oh, well, I had bought the bib lettuce is what I've got to put in now.
Right.
The others I've got have been various oak, red and green oak, and some romaine. So I bought a variety pack of starts for different flavors, because the darker the lettuce, the more bitter and stronger the flavor. And a lot of kids don't like that. A lot of adults don't like that.
See, I don't like that.
Yeah. But you can get the bib lettuce, the Boston lettuce, those that are very soft and sweet. You know, and it's just so good.
Is it hard to start? Because starting some things from seed in the spring, I've tried it, not recently.
No.
It's not that easy.
No, it's a pain.
Yeah.
You know, they will take off too quickly and they don't like it.
Be very spindly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what I've done is I will this weekend, now I've been eating the lettuce, I'll put some seeds in that take 30 to 40 days to mature. So they're going to be going while I'm eating the lettuce that's already there, and that'll be the lettuce.
So you're staggering your growing season.
Which is what you should do with things like cilantro anyway. You should
be
staggering those.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it tastes wonderful. And when you see what you pay for lettuce out there, and can you get much fresher than just picking the bits yourself? I mean, I told you I made that roasted red pepper pesto last night. I brought the lettuce in, rinsed it, did that little thing
salad
you
spinner.
Do, the salad spinner to get the water out. Like, well, I need to test this pesto, make sure it's good. Oh, let me dip a little. Yes, perhaps a little bit more. Or before it even gets to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kids will be like. And that's the way of getting them to eat the vegetables, because they're just so blown away with being able to do that. And it's cheaper than in the store. And it's fresher, and it doesn't go manky and green and slimy.
Manky. Oh,
another new English word.
Well, so what? All right. So what's the secret? If I buy those little tubs of organic, field greens, which I like for my salads.
Yeah.
What's the secret of extending their life beyond the whole getting skanky or whatever the word was?
Manky.
Yeah. Got about 30 seconds.
I will do the paper towel damp and wrap them in it, and then you put them in the bag and fold the top down and clip it, because you don't want the air to get in.
Okay. Air's the enemy, right?
Air's the enemy, but I wrap it in paper towel so it'll absorb any wetness.
So you wrap the whole bundle of it?
The base of it.
The base of it.
Not the whole top of it.
All right.
You put it in there to absorb any
wetness. I learned so much from you today, Una.
No kidding.
It's been 3 months.
We need to get her on.
Yeah, you need to be here, Maura.
At least once a month.
yeah, probably.
And great.
Every other week.
Oh, and I will be on curious.com as well. It's a worldwide now classes, and they've got me, they're just finishing off my films and all the rest for cooking classes, but it's real food for everyone.
Love
That's
it.
The difference.
Thanks, Una Williams.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Listening to Food for Thought, top of the hour. We'll be right back.